Ask the Podcast Coach for December 12th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It is Saturday morning. I should say, wearing my Inglés t-shirt today from Craig. He's in the chat room. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your questions answered live every Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Just go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and joining me as always, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake, the one and only Jim Collison. How's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. I also know what it's all about. So
that's it. Yeah. So, hey, the I don't know if it's exciting or not. Have you heard the new Serial episode yet?
No. I haven't even heard the old Serial episode.
Really? You've never listened to Serial?
I am the only one in America, only podcaster, never listened, ever. I'm a Radio Lab guy, so I do I listen to Radio Lab, but no, just never got into it. I have trouble with long series of things like that. It's just not as interesting to me. So I've never watched them. But so there's new ones.
Look at the chat room, man. There's a whole lot of people who've never listened to Serial. There's new ones, and here's the thing that I thought was interesting. And Mike, if you want to pop in here, I don't know if Mike influenced my decision that I was looking for it, and then I heard it. You know what I mean? Have you ever had people do that? They're like, oh, it's that movie's really slow, or that's, and then you kind of go in predispositioned, I guess, if we're going to pull out 50 cent words today. But the thing is, right, they do a lot of, I wish I had music and stuff, right? They do stuff where it's like, you know, first of all, everybody is talking about, here comes Mike. And, you know, they do things where it's, you know, they have the music. And is it a case where it's doing this or that? I don't know why it's doing that. So it's all this great production music, and everyone's thinking, And I was listening to Mike talk about it, and Mike said, you know what? They're going to take 12 weeks to tell this story that they could probably do in one really good episode. And I was like, you know, I love the production music, whatever it was a year and a half ago, and all the ooh-ah-ooh stuff. And they do. I mean, they're taking the stuff from the actual guy. I forget his name. Bodie Bluehide, something with a bunch
Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah, Bo Bergdahl. And I'm interested to hear the story because it's involving the government, which means it's probably going to end badly. But Mike was saying it's a little slow, basically. I'll let you chime in on that.
And that's kind of ironic coming from me, isn't it? But they take basically, you know, like the last story, what is it? They did, was it 12 episodes or something like that? They could have told that story in maybe 2 hours. And I think they're going to drag this one out even further. And, you know, the last one didn't bother me so much, but this one, it's like, you know, they've got probably 30 seconds of music, and then they say two sentences, and then they get 30 seconds more of sound effects. And,
right.
You know, the production value is awesome, but the story is really slow.
Yeah, and then you got to get in the MailChimp ad. And
oh, yeah, and then you got, you know, the incessant ads, and, of course, everybody wants to put ads on the thing, so it's going to be, you know, an infomercial for about a third of it.
Yeah, so it was it was funny because I heard Mike say that first before I listened to it, but I think I would have thought that anyway. I just thought it was interesting that the thing I really liked about it before, it was so well produced, is now I'm finding annoying. And I wonder if we're going to find that in the future where everyone starts to do these NPR shows that we're all going to go, yeah, it's another one of those, you know. So.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is that we should take the old Serial, somebody that has a lot of time on their hands, and edit out all the extraneous stuff. It's just see how long the actual story did take.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, kind of cool. But yeah, it's not. I don't think this one's as good as the last one. At least the bit that I listened. I still haven't listened to that whole episode.
Yeah, I listened to it. I was like, the first one, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's in jail. He's been wrongly accused, and there's a lot. I want to see what happens, and I didn't find myself going, yeah. You know, is this guy, you know, I don't know. It just didn't suck me into the first one. And that's going to be, it's the sophomore jinx, right? It's hard to recoup that. So Well,
yeah, I was gonna say when you're that popular and it's they've created a genre, right? I mean,
yeah.
And then when you define that, it's so hard to go above it the second time. Not impossible, but really hard to go above it the second time. And so I think anything you do is a little bit of a disappointment. Oh. You know, kind of quit while you're ahead. I think is
like the second Star Wars movie. You know,
yeah. Exactly.
Well, be careful with Star Wars, Mike. That's a little bit of like religion ground.
Them's right fighting there. Words, buddy.
People, yeah. I'm a Star Trek guy, so you know.
you can talk bad about the first one, which is the third one, and the you know you can talk bad about those. But
episode one, yeah.
You can't talk bad about 3, 4, and 5. So,
and while you're here, I was telling somebody about your headset. Do you happen to know the number off of it?
Well, now I got to take it off and look again.
Because somebody is asking, I'm like, well, Mike has a
he has ears.
EPHS one from Audio Technica.
All right, because somebody was asking.
XLR only. There's no USB interface to it or anything.
That was going to be my question. Was
you need a mixer or some other kind of interface, but
and rightly so.
Yeah, it's this is what they use for sports broadcasting, stuff like that. Usually they got a lot bigger windscreen on it.
Awesome. All right, well, Mr. Michael, thank you for you inspired me to talk about that today. So I was
have a good show.
The new serial is here. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for jumping in.
Bye bye.
So, but that was that's interesting. See, I just assumed that everyone and their brother has listened to Serial. The first, and I think it was Daniel in the chat room was saying that he didn't make it through the first episode.
It's just a tough. I mean, it's just tough. Everybody's got their own thing. I think I'm not sure Serial was as popular among content creators because we kind of know how the sausage is made.
Right.
You know, we're a little skeptical about that. It's a little competitive. They were the first to be that popular. I mean, Marin has that same kind of buzz where it's you love them or you just hate them. And so I think a lot of people were, you know, one of those kinds of things where you just love it or you hate it. I think Serial's, you know, in the same boat.
Yeah.
And so it's tough to be the leader from that standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
You get when you set the standard, then people either want to try to get past you or above you or knock you off. And so it's not always fun. That part's not always fun.
Well, and it's always fun. I mean, think about it. If you want to have fun, Google like whatever the Grammy Award is, like New Artist of the Year, and how many New Artists of the Year are never heard of again because you can't win. If you do an album just like the first one, it's like, this guy's not very – it sounds like the old one. If I wanted to hear that, I would just listen to the first album. And then if you change, people are like, I hate it. It doesn't sound like the first album. You can't win. So, do we want to get our ultimate geek on? Do you see the question that Mike has put up here?
Do it. Let's do it.
Right. So, Mike has asked, and it's funny that if I'm like, I would tell right. Mike to ask Mike. Wow, Mike doesn't know. Use the secondary on Skype. I'm already confused. The secondary on Skype? If so, there may be problems ahead. Skype has changed the way it handles the switch. It may or may not work as expected. And he's got a link there that I will now copy and make ready for the show notes.
So you get two Skype. You can get two instances of Skype running on the same PC. That's what he's talking about. And they just made an update to Skype and it broke it.
Oh, nice.
And so there's a way around it. But if you're a podcaster and you've been doing that, Daniel says it's in the Windows environment. If you're doing that, there's some steps out there. Mike drops the link here in there. We'll drop that in the show notes as well. I don't do that. I don't do it a lot, but I know it'll be a problem. So if you're running into that, or if you're a podcaster that does that, I read some of the articles. It looks like there's a workaround, but maybe it doesn't work every time. So,
yeah, interesting. Mm. Yeah, the other thing that is new, I thought we could talk about, and I wanted to get, especially because we have a live chat room, because I'm getting asked by a lot of people. There is the Live 365 has partnered with Blueberry. And if you go over to, I think it's podcast, the number 2 radio. I want to give Todd a plug here. And that's where it's $69 a month. And I actually had a conversation with Ray Palmero, who was with Radionomy, before Live 365, and she's always been a big fan of podcasters should have a live streaming radio show. And I was like, you do know the whole thing is time shifted. That's the buzz phrase here in podcast lands. It's time shifted. And so they launched this service, and she asked me about it before they launched it. And I said, I don't know that anybody's going to be paying $89 or $69, things like that. I wasn't sure. And I said, I'm not the guy to be asking. I said, because my audience is somewhat technical. I said, so they figured out how to listen to a podcast. If I was, you know, doing this for the Logical Weight Loss podcast or something, that might be a different story. But Jim, have you, what were your initial thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, so I tried it. I saw that come out and I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. You know, it does seem, you know, a live streaming seems a little old school. And I just don't know in what application, you know, we're getting away from live TV, we're getting away from live radio. I just don't know a lot of applications where someone would turn on a live stream and set it and forget it. Maybe in a factory, maybe at a dentist office, something like that. But for talk podcast, I'm not sure that's the best, you know, the best format for it. So I saw the Blueberry announcement, so I went out and tried it. Dave, it's crickets. I mean, if we think you're going to jump on there and all of a sudden get, oh, because they advertise this as get access to millions of listeners and blah, blah, blah. And okay, well, I'll go. I'm fine. Maybe I did it wrong, but I went out and set up a channel and put Home Gadget Geeks in there. And I put three shows. So there's 4 hours worth of material kind of looping through there. And their stats are behind. Actually, this morning they haven't updated their stats for 2 days, which is a little worrisome. Ooh. And it's crickets. So I don't know. Would I pay $70 for a couple hits a day? And the ones I've gotten in the last day or so have been, you know, a couple minutes each. I don't think so. It's just not for $70 a month.
Well, here's the interesting thing.
Crazy.
That's the thing I said. I told her, I said, we have said that at times podcasters are kind of cheap. And I said, you're going to have to, I said, the good news is you have built in return on investment. I said, because I can see if it's working or not. I said, the bad news is any kind of audience you're trying to build up is going to take longer than 30 days. And I said, so I can see a lot of people just bailing on this. I said, it'll be interesting to see. And I'm trying to log in because I've had a live station for a while. Does it say when I joined here? No, but let me, now here's the interesting thing. I haven't touched this thing in forever, right? I upload a bunch of shows. But I was amazed that when I came in here that I will give you, and if you're an awesome member of our Patreons, you actually saw a video of this. But yeah, the average session length is 20 minutes. Over the last 30 days, I have had 80 unique listeners, of which, and here's, cause I was like, man, that $89, $69, whatever they're charging, that's a lot. And here's why. They're giving you unlimited listeners. So if you have 10 or 10,000, you're paying one price. That is not the case with most streaming services. You're paying for up to, like I have, I'm paying $13 for up to, I believe it's 25 listeners of a 64 mono stream. And I had 80 listeners from 15 different countries in the last 30 days. So for $13, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll burn $13 for that. And I can see the countries, Thailand, Spain, Germany, Netherlands, United Kingdom, et cetera, et cetera. But I was surprised that I had a total of almost 2,000 minutes. Let's see what else but the fact that I had 80 listeners, I'm like, all right, I guess if I did the math. And the when I did the video the other day, I actually had more listeners than that. It was actually higher than that. So maybe the last 30 days I'm down, who knows, but yeah, the price point I think is what's going to kill them. And here's the bad news. If you look at their music streaming service, they can't go lower than that because they're charging like $35 a month for music, and they have to charge that because they're paying for the licensing of the music. So if you want to do a music show where you play your favorite tunes. So I'm not sure.
That's where this becomes valuable, by the way, I think.
Yeah.
Like if you've got a podcast and you've got a ton of music in it, they license it for you, right? Right. They're paying the licensing fees for you. So yeah, I think if you had that unique genre where you were doing podcasting and music and you don't want to worry about the licensing piece of it, that this gets interesting. Then at this point, I think for the average podcaster, I didn't see the hundreds all of a sudden because now I have access. Now, to be fair, I've been out there four or five days. So I think we get a 30-day free trial, right?
With
doing it. So, but
the only time
it jumped, Dave, is when I advertised. So, you know, like I would tweet and I would see a couple listeners pop on. Well, that's not what I want. I want to drive them back to my site. If it's the advertising is going to come from me, I want a site where I pick up the millions of new listeners without having to do anything. That's what I'm paying $70 for. And I don't feel like that's necessarily happening here. So I'm a skeptic. I'm going to come into this kind of saying, eh.
Yeah, and the licensing is just for the stream. You can't play music on your podcast still. That is the case. I did like their stats, the fact that you can drill down and see what city, in some cases, people are coming from. That was kind of interesting. I saw that. They do have a points program where if you get – every time somebody listens to an ad on your show that they play and you get a point, and I think if you get – it's a lot. It's like 50,000 points, you get $100, which I don't even want to do with a CPM on that. But it's interesting. I'll be interested to see what it does. The other thing is that they say you can be on iTunes Radio, and that's confusing because people think it's iTunes or Apple Music. No, it's not Apple Music. It's iTunes Radio. And the fun thing is, of course, if you go into iTunes, it used to be somewhat easier to find, but when Apple Music came out, it's still there. They just put it backstage. You have to go into iTunes and click some things and preferences to get that to show up. And that's when I went, okay. So we'll be interested to see. I don't want to poo-poo the idea, but I was just like, you're going to have to bring some value for $89 a month. And I think they're in a bit of a corner because they can't charge, you know, less. And
it can't be ultra cheap.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. And now for the record, the thing I'm using for $13 a month, nowhere near as cool in making a playlist. It's close, but not as easy, and it doesn't have a scheduler. Like with Live 365, I could say, you know, every, you know, Tuesday at 1 o'clock, listen to Weekly Web Tools, asterisks, assuming that the previous MP3 is done, because it's a soft schedule. So it's got some, it'll be interesting to see, because the big thing when you hear them, because I went over, I watched a lot of video on Live 365 this week, and their buzz phrase is, it's a laid back experience. You can set it in laid back. I'm like, but my content isn't about people being laid back. I don't want you to listen to me while you're making dinner and watching. It's like, no, I want you to be listening to me and that whole nine yards. So that'll be kind of interesting. That's new. And it's exciting that somebody's trying to, you know, bring podcasting in, and it'll be interesting to see if anybody has any huge, you know, success with it. But you have, it's like anything else. You have to promote it.
That's not what they're, how they're billing this, right? They say on their site, get access to millions of our listeners.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, Dave, I can promote my own website. If I'm going to promote things, I want people to come to my website.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pay for them, if I'm going to pay for people to come on to their site to listen or whatever and deal with their branding, and oh my God, their webpage has 3 ads on it. So if you are streaming and you're bringing up it in a webpage, there's 3 different spots with ads and they're still charging you $70, which tells me one of 2 things. No one's clicking on the ads or they're gouging you. Right. So this is weird. Usually you're the one that's super skeptical and I'm the one that's like,
Yeah. So
I don't know.
When I went to the website and I saw ads, I went, this smells like Blog Talk Radio. You know, you're sending me there to, because I was like, the HTML5 player, A, you have to build. They don't give you, it was kind of hard. There were just a lot of things that I was like, this is just all my opinion. They pulled the trigger a little early because there's still some stuff when I was talking to them, they're like, well, yeah, that's from the radio part. We've changed this. I'm like, yeah, but what they're like, oh, that's from the radio part. This is a podcast. And I'm like, So
Jason Bryant's using it. He says he's using it and he's up a couple, you know, 25 listeners. And so You know, somebody, for those of you who just jumped in, we're talking about Live 365, a service for podcasters. And we're not going to talk about internet marketing. Somebody was asking some questions about how do you be successful in internet marketing. Yeah. There's plenty of other blabs.
Yeah, check that out. Ad blocker, Jason says it blocked 300 ads. Holy cow.
Yeah, you could block those for sure.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things. It's like I went to the page and there was just there were ads everywhere. There's ads across the top, ads down the side, ads over the bottom. And it was, and they're good ads. They weren't bad, but it was just, so I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah. So, let's see. We got another question here from the chat room. And again, if you got a question and you want to just jump on in, this is always a fun one. Sean P. Kelly asks, he's at Sean P. Kelly. New Year's is just around the corner. What is going to be the big thing for podcasting in 2016? Jim, you want to take a stab at that one?
Yeah, it'll be players.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed, right? There's going to be a bunch of new players that hit the market and have, I think, going to have some meta associated with them where you can do certain things and, you know, not cool looking players, not like the SoundCloud. When we went through the whole SoundCloud craze where everybody wanted that player on Facebook. But I mean players that actually add value. We're starting to see this with Clamor, integrating in where you can do. Boy, Clamor has really stepped it up, Dave.
Yeah, they did.
I don't. Holy moly. I mean, it's 24 seconds now. Did you know that? They moved it from 18 to 24.
I did not know that. Holy
yeah,
cow.
Yeah, I got a DM from those guys on Twitter this week. I was clamoring some things of my own just to kind of try it out. But Clamor now is integrating itself into a bunch of players. I think we're going to see that kind of there needs to be more audio interaction when it comes to meta that gets inserted into your audio. So can I make a little, you know, can I at minute three, can I provide something in the experience, a pop-up or something along those lines? Or can people make comments about it? And then the Clamor idea, can I take chunks of it? Because we do this at Gallup all the time. For the Gallup podcasts, that is really about seven questions of that we want to break up and make individual questions about. This show would be the same thing, like where we have these segments in it. And so we tried doing this, and I think GarageBand did this for a while, and it no longer does it or something like that, where you can bookmark our chapter, chapter audio. I think that needs to still come. That's a great idea, just the execution was bad. And so I think in 2016, we're going to see that. Yeah. We're going to see more of that in audio players.
I know Appendipity has a player in the works. I've already seen a preview of that. That's going to be interesting because my whole question is, Smart Podcast Player, was that that was Pat's? And then you had Simple Podcast Press was Hanny's, you know. And I'm always kind of like, I liked Hanny's. I liked Pat Flynn. I liked his player. It just didn't really fit my niche. But I can definitely see where that goes. I'm just not sure, is that really going to, like, boost downloads? That's, I guess, my whole thing is if your show is still crap, it doesn't matter what you're clicking.
Yeah, no, I don't think they boost downloads. They just add to the experience.
Yeah.
It makes it better, you know, to listen to it. I'd also love to see more interaction on mobile with players. That's a great place, you know, except when you're driving.
Right.
That's a great place. If you're on a train or, you know, listening to this and you heard something and you wanted to make a note about it in the audio, on your mobile would be the perfect place to say, stop here. Okay, I want to make this note and then insert that meta into something that you could get back to. Dave, this would be really good for you because you're always trying to find those little tidbits of, you know, you got to write it down or whatever. There should be a way to interact with the player so it marks it for you. And then you could go back, and maybe this is an app somebody needs to create where, you know, it's or in their current podcatcher where you can make notes about your audio. And then there's a notes page you can go back to and see all the notes that you've made, both audio and because you could say take a note and then speak your own note right into it. Right. Or write it out either way.
Yeah.
And then you could go back to that page and get all the notes that you have. I mean, I think that's really needed. I'm not sure we have a player like that.
Yeah. My problem is with Overcast, you can share something at a specific time. I've done that and then looked at my Twitter feed. But yeah, right now I still do, you know, I basically do this. I we can hear this or not, but I basically just say them into my phone. No, that's not going to come through. But it's basically me saying there's a free headline analyzer tool in my phone.
Combine that with the player in your podcasting, you know, in your podcatcher. Addy says they do it for audiobooks. So
yeah,
I think
that's true.
I think we're going to see more of that. That's where I think that's where the trend, you know, kind of the trend is going.
Yeah. And I'll be interested to see. I think the other thing we're going to see is I think because they're unfortunately the people getting, I think we're going to see a little bit of a divide in the same way that we saw a little bit of that between, you know, the monetization people and the I'm just doing it for the love of people. I think we're going to see a little bit of a divide between, like, for lack of a better phrase, the NPR people, the people that podcast like this, and the people that are kind of, I guess we would be indie podcasters, right? We don't have 19 people helping me with my show. Because I think we're going to see more of those because they just keep getting all the press. Why? Because they're in the media and they're getting all their friends to write stories about them. And so that'll be, I think we're going to see some of that. And I'll be the first to say somewhat based out of jealousy, but I also think we're just, all I hear now is about storytelling. You got to, you know, and I agree, you know, storytelling is a great way to make engaging content and get people to know and like you and trust you and that whole nine yards. But I also think we've said it here on the show, just because it's real doesn't mean it's really good. And yeah. I'll be interested to see how that works. So that's my prediction. I think we're going to see more storytelling. I also think we're going to see – here's the thing that I'm going to be really interested to see what happens, right? So we're getting more and more advertisers in. But we've only got 8% of people that actually have enough – you know, downloads to have these big national sponsors, according to Rob from Libsyn. So that either A means it should mean that, you know, CPM should go up because it's a seller's market, or, you know, that's the whole thing I'm going to see, because we're going to have people fighting over that. So we got a person coming in here.
How are you, Fred?
Good. How are you? What's your question?
Good. Please, I have a question. How you can, for example, in field of CPA marketing,
mm-hmm.
you know it. How you can advertise your offer? How you can get traffic, huge traffic to your offer, to have a conversion and get a good and earn money? How you can do this?
Well, with podcasting, CPM is a horrible way to add to make money with a podcast, because most podcasters don't make enough money, don't have enough downloads to make it, because they want to pay you anywhere from $15 to, you know, I hear people quoting 40 and 50 and things like that. So for that to work, you either, I always say, here's the number of downloads. This is my equation. The value to your audience multiplied by the amount of time you spend promoting it. Because if you promote it and there's value, in theory, these people should tell other people. It's a slow process. So if you're starting a podcast and you want 10,000 downloads, New and Noteworthy is not going to deliver that anymore. It might have in the past, but it sure doesn't now.
So you mean that the people that I want to attract are interested in what I do?
They should be interested in what you do if you provide value. But if Jim and I talk about what we had for breakfast here, nobody's going to listen to this show. We've got to stick to our topics, and we're here to help people grow their show and understand the technology and that whole nine yards. But every podcaster starts with zero downloads. And from there, the more value here's how podcasting works. When you provide value, people are like, wow, that guy's really cool. He really helped me. He saved me time. He got me the right resource, whatever it is. Then if you can deliver your podcast on a regular basis, you don't have to, but it helps, because now you're seen as trustworthy because you're always there every Monday, every Wednesday, whatever day you publish at. So you're a good person that's bringing great content. You're doing it on a regular basis. And so now they trust you because, well, he's always there. So they know you, they like you, they trust you, you bring value. Now, if you have a product or you recommend a product, now they'll give up their cash in theory.
You mean by this that I have to have a relation with the people?
Yes.
When I do a broadcast about, for example, I talk about a weight loss. Mm-hmm. I do a broadcast, and the people who are interested in broadcast will come and see my broadcast. And then when I will have some relation with them.
Right.
That's right.
Who's,
and then when I want to...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who's your best friend? What's his name or her name?
My best friend?
Yeah.
Islam.
Islam. Okay, how long have you Islam. Known how long have you known that person?
Maybe 3 years.
3 years. Got it. That didn't happen overnight. And same thing, to develop a relationship where people know, like, and trust you, that's not going to happen in 3 weeks. It's not. It might happen in 3 months, but, you know, I've known my best friend since sixth grade. So, you know, and that person really knows me. So you have to build that relationship, and you do that by delivering value, by kind of serving your audience, interacting with them, right? If I don't talk to my best friend in a while, you kind of lose a little bit of that connection. Now, every time we do connect, you know, we always pick up right where we left off. But yeah, it's all about relationships. Any kind of sales is all about relationships, because I'm not going to buy a car from somebody I don't trust.
It's like the same thing on email marketing.
Yes.
It's like the same thing on email marketing. For example, if you build an email list, for example, if you do a Facebook ad size, you advertise the offer on Facebook, and you attract the people who are interested in what you are doing and what you do. Mm-hmm. For example, if you have, for example, 2,000 people are in the registered on your list, then you will be have some contact with them. Then they would improve your relation with them. After you would, it will be easier for you to sell a product to them. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very much like email marketing. The difference is you go from being words on a page to an actual person, and you have tone of voice. So. That's how you do it, my friend. I thank you so much for stopping in, and
thank you.
Take care. Yeah, we're right on the edge of internet marketing there, but it's very similar to that.
There's a lot of ties in with that and what we do. You know, we talk about growing your audience. There's been some discussion about, you know, when we think about the CPM model, and I think some of us are just thinking now about a dollars per episode concept. Downloads still play in. I mean, I was reaching out to somebody had contacted me about a product they were doing at CES. They were asking if I was going to be there. I said, no, but you could come on my podcast. And then they were asking me, well, what are your, you know, can you give us some idea of your audience and your downloads? I think those are still important.
Yeah.
I tell them, I said, here's our audience. Here's what we do. Here's our target. This is what's been successful in the past. And let it kind of live or die on that. On that standpoint, I get these wild fluctuations though in my downloads, and I can just never guarantee. If you have a product and you come on the show and you don't bring your game, that show may not ever make it. It may not get the max potential that it is. It's as important to you that you bring your game when you come on my program as that I'm on my game, you know. And so those kinds of things. That's why I do like that cost per episode model. This is kind of the Glenn the Geek type deal.
Yeah.
The cost per or per time. I did, you know, the app, the Android app, the Android and iPhone app that I did with LastPass. That's just a timed thing. That was a certain dollar amount over a year, and they would sponsor that app for a year. And that we didn't even talk about downloads. So Glenn, that's another way to kind of approach it.
Glenn the Geek, by the way, will be on Monday's show, bringing the gold. It's not who you know. It's not who you know. It's who knows you. And I was like, okay. Ooh, that's good.
It's not going to be as good the second time.
It's pretty close. Yeah, it's like the serial effect. How do you repeat that?
Well, hold on. Let's see if we can get Mr. Cupcake Zone. No Cupcake Zone in
there. There he is. Back there again. He is.
Welcome back.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man. I feel like such a novice right now, man.
Oh, that's good.
You guys are talking about some real higher level stuff, man. So, I want to thank you guys, for giving me that advice last time. I just had a couple more questions.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's going to be definitely surface level stuff I'm going to talk about this
cool.
time.
Good. I'm tired of the heady stuff.
Yeah.
I got kind of a headache.
Anyways, man, the first thing that I wanted to ask you is, I'm sure you guys get a lot of data. Is there, from a loyalty standpoint, because I'm on Spreaker right now, mm-hmm. and I ventured off to Libsyn, but I really haven't put that. I just put a podcast up there, but because it seems like you have to do a little bit more work to get subscribers. And I want to, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, and I want to look at either Spreaker, Stitcher, or iTunes. I guess if you're starting out, I mean, is there one that's more, I guess, more user-friendly or easier to manage than the other?
they both have their pros and cons. If I'm going to do multiple shows, Spreaker actually has a really cool interface for that because you can have all your stats kind of in one place. The difference between Spreaker and Libsyn, you don't need both. That's kind of like having two cars when you can only drive one. You know,
but different models, right?
Yeah.
So Libsyn is kind of your traditional media hosting. They've got a lot of services that are available for you on Libsyn, and they've got apps and, you know, things they can do. Spreaker is that, but they're not Libsyn's not a destination site, right? You queue people in on your downloads on your site to consume those files off Libsyn. Nobody goes to Libsyn to get the files, so to speak. They're coming to your site. Where Spreaker, that's kind of a destination site, right? They're creating that where you can kind of come, where people will actually come to Spreaker and consume that content. It's got that feel to it. Now, it also, like Libsyn, is hosting. It's media hosting, so you can use their RSS feeds, and we do that at Gallup. And so, you know, if you didn't want to create your own brand, Spreaker is kind of an all-in-one. I mean, I think they're probably doing the all-in-one better than anybody else right now, as far as being able to get all that in one place. So it's just variations, you know. And Stitcher doesn't have any hosting associated with it, right? You got to have your podcast somewhere else.
So
it's like iTunes.
Right? Yeah. So there are media hosts, and then there are directories. So iTunes, just picture iTunes as being a big phone book. Stitcher's a big phone book. TuneIn's a big phone book. And you want to be listed in there in case people are looking for your type of content. But and it's the other thing with media hosts, like when you're on the School of Podcasting and you hit play, you don't really see that it's coming from Libsyn. And I could do the same thing with Spreaker or Blueberry. When you hit play, the media host doesn't really have a lot to do with the front end of your website. It's just all the stats and the fact that I know that when somebody hits play, it's going to hit play. So I would pick one or the other. And it's they're kind of six one way, half a dozen the other. I mean, Libsyn is cool because when I hit publish, it publishes on Twitter, it publishes on Facebook, it publishes on LinkedIn, all that other fun stuff. Plus, they have an app. Now, Spreaker has an app as well. I actually like Libsyn's app a little better because there's some contact information. You can star things as favorites and things like that. It's also not as expensive. But Spreaker has the cool thing where if you want to do a live show, there's live streaming. And it's a little easier if you have multiple shows. Not that it's hard in Libsyn, it's just easier on the Spreaker side. So, but I don't know if
that makes.
I'm going to say I'm not sure if that helps at all.
Yeah, that answered my question.
Okay.
And the other, you know, surface level question, you know, podcasters. I mean, I'm a novice. Don't hit me over the head.
No.
Because I noticed that Dave, that you were using a dynamic mic last time, and you're using a dynamic mic too. But my other question was. And I, you know, trying to get my sound, you know, down right, but it's kind of confusing because I got a cheap mic that sounds way better than this condenser mic that I bought, and I'm just kind of confused about that. I was like, well, aren't you supposed to? The more money you spend, mm-mm. the better sound. But
no, not at all. You can spend $3,000 on a microphone that would be awesome if you were in a soundproof booth. You're not. And so that's what happens. People, you know, the Blue Yeti is a cool microphone. The Blue Snowball, I've heard really good results from a Blue Snowball. It was from somebody who was podcasting from a closet, right? It was a walk-in closet surrounded by clothes, closed the door, and a laptop and a Blue Snowball. And she's like, yeah, I'm using the – I'm like, really? But she was right up on that bad boy and, you know, the room dead in the sound. So, yeah, vote with your ears, not with your eyes. Because that's if it sounds better, it's better. I mean, here, this microphone is $60. This one is roughly $300. Does this sound $250 different? No, by no means. No way close. Does this one sound better? Sure. But
because we're going through blab, right? I mean, you're getting half duplexed and crunched anyway. So it's like, you know, you're using a race car to drive across the street from that. You know, you're hampered. And so we're an ATR at 120. I think the other mistake a lot of podcasters make, they don't get up on their mic. I mean, you got to, you know, they put these
get up
things,
on the microphone.
You know, oh, expect to get great sound that far away, and you don't. You got to get in that thing.
I'm a three-fingered kind of person. I usually say I'm about three fingers away when I'm actually recording. Now, here, I'm cheating. I'm sitting back in my chair because I have a compressor that boosts my volume when I'm backing away. And this way, if I'm changing and doing knobs and things like that. I don't have to stay up, but I'm actually recording my podcast. I'm right here on it. I'm not super up on it because now I'm going to have plosives, even if I have this little screen thing here, but I'm usually pretty close. And that's why I like this microphone. Other microphones, the closer you get, the bassier you get. That's why I really like this microphone. It doesn't have as much of a the buzz phrase for that is a proximity effect. And but it's also $300, where this one is $60 and sounds pretty much just as good in my book. So, but yeah, get the right microphone.
Do you prefer for live versus treated room and doing a show, one mic over the other? Like if you're in a treated room, do you prefer a condenser?
A condenser is going to have a little more upper end to it. It's going to be a little more clear on the S's and T's. But they also, I think it was Mike Dell that said they will pick up a cricket farting outside. Or was that you, Jim? It was Jim.
That's my set.
They pick up everything. I mean, they will literally pick up a pin dropping. So it's, and for me, that just doesn't work because I got neighbors on both sides of my walls and I got a parking lot outside here. So,
you got to use the right mic for the right application.
Yeah.
And that's just, you got to kind of, and then it's based on budget, right? I mean, yeah. you can't own six mics.
Yeah. I have condenser microphones. They're in a box in my closet.
Dave does. Right. But I think, for me, we use these 2100s. I use these here in the home studio. I take them to work. I take them on the road. And they get the right sound for me in every application. And I own a Yeti. It's sitting right behind me right there that I've got. And it's got the right application for it. I pull that out when I want to use it in the right application. But for the most part, these 2100s are so utilitarian. And I know, what kind of mic? You said you bought a cheap mic that works better. What mic is that? What do you have?
Well, no, I bought a BM800. But no, that was the one. But I got it like one from Guitar Center.
Guitar Center.
Mm-hmm. It's like it was like a $10 mic. I got it on sale. I forgot it's called like a dynamic or. I forgot what the name is, but it's
it works good.
Yeah.
If you like the sound and your audience likes the sound, run with it. I mean, that's kind of at the end of the day, it's kind of like, what do people want to listen to you for? You want to keep them interested in listening. And if the sound is getting in the way, then it's bad sound, no matter what it is. No matter what it is.
Yeah, that's when you know it's bad sound.
I bought an MXL 990, mm-hmm. and there's a serious buzz coming off of it. I did my troubleshooting, and it just, I don't know. I mean, I just couldn't do it. It was hampering what I was trying to do. Right. I was spending an hour trying to figure this out instead of, doing my show.
Yeah, it's tricky. It really is. And when the sound of your audio distracts from what you're saying, that's when it's time to change. So I had a problem with a lot of buzzing, and I spent the better part of an hour and a half last week just unplugging everything down to square one, and I made sure that all – here's how I fixed my buzz. I plugged everything. I have line conditioners. They're not cheap. They're like $70 a piece. That is where – and I have all my computer, all my hard drives are plugged into the same one, where before I had them in different ones. I just thought, let's try that. And then I got these things called ground loop isolators that I have one going out of the computer and one going into the computer. And that seemed to help a lot. But in the end, just vote with your ears. It really does because, I forget who I was listening to. Somebody bought a Heil PR40 and they said, it doesn't really work for my voice, but everybody's like, oh, it's the best microphone ever. It's also $600 by the time you get the stand and the pop filter and the microphone. It's not a one size fits all. And even the Audio Technica, like Todd Cochran says, his voice doesn't sound good on an Audio Technica 2100. So, and when you get a microphone, you're like, now what do I do with it? Well, you do what I do, throw it in a closet or be, eBay. So,
okay.
Awesome.
Last question.
Okay.
Last question. I use a speaker app with the Skype, but I had to do a virtual cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's another way that you can do it with your mixer to do mix minus. The only problem is my laptop doesn't have an output, which is, I guess it's a problem on the newer laptop. My question is, do you get better sound if you do the mix minus versus the virtual cable?
Jim, any idea? We don't want to get into mixed minus with Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to shock you. Mixed minus is better.
Is it? Okay. I was going to say so. The other thing,
yeah, because it's physical, right? The reason is because it's physical, and the virtual audio cables depend on your PC for the sound. So if you're underpowering your PC and you're using virtual audio cables, there's a chance that there'll be either a latency delay in them or that they'll be skipping. There'll be audio skipping. Okay. And so most PCs, if you have a modern PC, you should be okay. But you can never control, like, say you're running, you're doing a recording, and all of a sudden update for Windows kicks off and it consumes 98% of your PC bandwidth or your PC processing. That will affect the audio on the virtual audio cable, as opposed to mix minus will not. It's hardware. In most cases, I think hardware solutions are always better than software solutions, always, because you can never guarantee what's going on your PC.
So I use these. It's a Griffin iMic. And
you can use that for an output.
Yeah, it's got an in and an out. And the thing I love about it is it has a thing on the side, so I can say, is this a microphone or a line in? It's like $29. I put a link there in the chat room. But I love them. So, and I keep hearing that they might discontinue those. So I'm glad I have two. So, but I see they're in stock at Amazon right now. So, awesome. But yeah, keep up the good work.
I just wanted to know that, so I'm gonna definitely go do the mix minus versus the virtual cable.
And if you go to YouTube, look for Ray Ortega. He's my buddy from the Podcasters Roundtable and PodcasterStudio.com. He has a great video on mix minus that'll walk you through the whole thing. So
okay,
all right, my man.
All right, once again, man. Thank you guys, man, so much.
Now you bet. Thanks for jumping in.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
The one and only Mr. Wizard. Coming in, Bill Conrad.
Yep, and I'm all dark here because it's the first time the camera's been up. So
there you go, my friend. How are you?
What's going on, Bill?
Hey, I interviewed a guy. In fact, right now is a guy I interviewed, and he was using a Chromebook.
Okay.
And it was like 3 or 4 years old, and it came out pretty good.
Yeah.
He was using some kind of condensing mic, and I told him to turn down the volume, but it came out good. I didn't realize that you could actually get that quality through a Chromebook.
Do you know, was it a low-end Chromebook or one of the higher-end?
I should have asked him. He said it was like 3 or 4 years old, so I assumed it was lower-end. Here's the question. What kind of processor could I get on a Chromebook? I've got this new show called Meet the Voter every Sunday. I make a podcast out of it. It's 4 hours, but I only take about 20 minutes for the podcast. And I need to get a cheap-end solution for these folks to start using. Instead of MacBook Pros.
Yeah. So what would be your application? Would you tell them, you would send it to them for them to use?
No, I'd tell them to buy it.
Oh, go to buy it. Wow.
Well, these people are politically inclined. They're maybe a little older, but
they have iPhones. They're better off on an iPhone, honestly, than they are on a MacBook or on a Chromebook.
Really? Really? Yeah. It came out pretty nice on that Chrome. That's why.
It will, but your problem isn't your problem is the technology. It's the access to it. And I just don't think people are going to go buy a Chromebook for one interview.
I'm thinking, I bought a Chromebook years ago and took it back like 2 days later.
But, well, okay. Well, in that scenario, yeah, all right. I mean, but I
wasn't like that. I just didn't like it. You know, they only have like 16 mega RAM.
Yeah, well,
I didn't mean it like that.
That would be my question. What do they have? Do they have an iPad? Do they have an iPhone?
Who knows?
Well, iPhone would be the best. This is the easiest way to get people. I mean, if they have a 6 or above,
really?
The audio on those things are dynamite. Yeah. And so especially what kind if they of run that through. Now, when I say dynamite, I mean adequate.
Yeah, listen.
use the Rode mic here, maybe?
No, just have them use the – have them – I mean, for what you're doing.
I hate this thing. It's scratches.
No, but Bill, they're doing it one time, and they're the guest, not the host. Right. This is where you want to make it as easy for the guest as humanly possible. And so I think the setup that you have with that mic, in most cases, I have them hold it during the interview so that it's not rubbing up against but you know what I mean. I have them hold it like that just so. But I did an interview from Brazil and all they had were iPhones. And so we did this and the sound quality was just fine for the application that I was trying to do. I wouldn't do a weekly podcast that way. But it works for an interview, and most people have that. Android would be the same; would be this in the same boat. You can get connected on Android, but iPhones are great for that.
You know, I use a lot of Google apps for business now. I'm starting to really get into Google and apps and try to sync everything because it's really a cheap solution. And I was thinking about trying out a Chromebook to see what they're doing these days, if they're improving at all. Because the idea is you don't have a lot of memory on your Chromebook. So, Jim, on your Geek Show, do you have a call-in live show now?
Well, we did Blab this week.
I could divert into geek stuff right now because I'm really interested in this Chrome thing and Android.
Well, if it's related to podcasting.
I was going to say, it'd be great if this was a tech show. It's a podcast show, Bill.
So no. I'm just trying
asking hardware questions.
Simpler solutions for people. I deal with a lot of people who just aren't savvy on computers, and Apple's the easiest. I'm trying to get a lower cost solution to
Ringer.
I do it. I'm hired by a company to do voter outreach to help people get more connected who are older into social media, and podcasting is my first place I start.
Yeah. Oh, here's at Gallup what we do to get people on, because I have to deal with the same thing. I have guests. These are coaches who don't. Yeah. They're not tech savvy at all. But all of them have a Mac, and so we ship ATR 2100s to them, and they, man, those things, these things are, these are way more durable than you think they are for $60.
Oh, I know.
We get probably 20, 25, 30 applications. Yeah, yeah. Well, and if you break it, it's under, did you just throw it?
So, let me throw a second one.
Well, Bill, have you been drinking this one?
I think so.
It's Army Navy Day. I'm happy. You know, until
that's right. Army Navy. The drinking starts early. But
sorry, yeah.
Those 2100s are super easy to ship in their light, and so we ship them and send a label with them, and they send them back. That as I've found, it goes PC, Mac. It plugs into anything. You know, you got to have a camera anyways, at least for
now. My folks don't have Macs, most of them. I wish they did.
They have PCs, right? I mean, it works on PC, too.
Hey, as I get off here, one side note, I finally got this going, and I'm starting a live show every day. I don't know how long I'll do it. Yeah. Live show every day recording. So
such a bad idea. Okay.
Here it goes. It's not working. Damn it. Excuse my language.
All right.
Hey, wait a second. It's not working. You know what? It stopped working. Isn't that bizarre? This thing has been working perfect, and it stopped working again.
That stinks.
What is it?
It's what happens is I changed out this. It's the Boss Jock on the pad.
Yeah.
And I changed it out, and it was working, but somehow it has something to do with this right here. Connecting. It shows it mutes itself if it gets any kind of feedback. I don't know why it does. It's the first time it's done it. Well, it's been working great, and then it stopped working. You know that's what it was.
You know what's fun when Bill calls in? You have new equipment every time you call in.
This is not Dave. Do you have this equipment?
But you're always like, now I'm using the Boss Jock. This week I'm using the Scarlett. This week I'm doing this, and I bought a new microphone. Now I'm doing the Heil. Now I'm doing the – I'm like, dude, big
– He sounds like Dave Jackson.
He does. It's crazy.
No, wait a second. Wait a second. I haven't bought anything in a while. I've had this stuff. I'm just learning to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. No, awesome. No. I'm looking for better solutions because I do – one of my big things is voter outreach to train people on social media who are clueless because I'm a Republican – on the side in Nevada, and we're going to get our asses kicked this year because we have marijuana on the ballot. All the young people are going to come out and vote. The old people don't do any social media or outreach. Social media does affect elections. Podcasting could affect elections if it's done right.
If people listen, yeah, that's the whole point. So,
awesome. Anyway, I'll get out of here. This is Bud. I was going to show you my sound. I'm so proud. It's been working like for about a day and a half, and it stopped working again. What happens is something about the impedance on this, I think.
Yeah.
And the reboot. That's Scarlet.
I would start there. Reboot.
Bill, go Army.
Beat Navy.
Go Army.
All right. Mr. Nessie has a great question. Should non-tech savvy people be podcast? That's a great question right there, Mr. Nessie. Boy. Because a lot of people do, and it's that's the fun part.
I do some podcast consulting for a group of gals that don't want to hassle with it. And, I do their WordPress stuff for them. You know, they've started doing a series on authors. And so they were really struggling to figure out the whole Amazon affiliate link and how to get books linked in and how to get that done. And I just said, let me do that. It's you guys are the smart ones when it comes to talking about higher education. So you guys do that. Let me do the nerdy, geeky tech stuff for you. So I think the answer is it's not or they should or they shouldn't. What's most cost effective for them?
Right? Yeah.
If they've, you know, these folks that I podcast with, they're lawyers and doctors and, you know, PhD, right? They have their time doing what they're good at is better spent doing that, not figuring out. Let the technical guys, you or me, Dave, when we do consulting, let us figure that because I'm a lot faster at it than they are.
Yeah.
They've been trying to figure out something for a month that I fixed in 5 minutes the other day.
Yeah, that's the combo that doesn't work. I'm not techie, but I want to do everything myself because I have no budget. that's where you go, boy, you're going to have a – and that's not to say you can't do it, but bring your patience and be open-minded. That's the other thing that sometimes
I find. How much do you want to learn, right? So right. If you want to learn it – I mean, this is why there's no right or wrong on this answer.
Right.
If you want to learn it, that yeah, anybody yeah. could do it. Anybody could figure it out if they want to. It's a matter of where's your time best spent and what do you want to do? And so if you want to dig in and get it done, I think podcasting is easy enough. Spreaker is a great example. Spreaker now is an all-in-one, plug it in, podcast and be done. You don't have to know anything technical to get it done, right? I mean, so if you want to start and do it on Spreaker, that's a great way to get started. Can you? Yes. Should you? I don't know. If you want to, if you want to do smart stuff and you don't want to figure out the technology, hire somebody to help you do it.
Yeah, and then I'm going to try to go through some of these questions here. Dave asks, what microphone am I using now? It's the good old-fashioned – well, right now, actually, I put the 2100 link in the show notes. That's actually not what I'm doing. I am doing an Electro Voice RE320 at the moment, which is $299. It's definitely not – right, the ATR 2100 is – I'm not sure what it's going for today. I didn't check the stock prices. But, the RE320, and then I'm using the Behringer X1832, which in most cases is extremely overkill for the average podcaster. The only reason I even got this mixer is because at the time we were doing live call-ins, so I had a phone, I had Jim, and I had an iPad coming into the mixer to do that. But that's what I'm using, and again... kind of overkill for most folks, but Dave, thanks for throwing that in the chat room. We already answered this one. What got rid of my wine was the fun-filled...
We drank it.
Yeah. How do I decide which mic I will use since I have multiple microphones? It's easy. If Jim gets on the pre-show and I go, how are you sounding? And he goes, ugh! Then I pull down the ATR 2100. I don't think from this point forward, I should be using the RE320. I use this for Skype calls sometimes, but if I'm really sounding that clear, I might use the RE320 for everything now and just use my mixer. But I always have, again, you always kind of have a backup. So that's usually it, how things sound. Let's see.
A good question. There we go.
Which one? This one?
Yeah, Stevens.
Yeah. What do you guys think of when the Blab community says not to take Blab serious? Podcasters ruin it. Audio is not important. Why do you take it serious? Well, for me, again, if the sound of your audio distracts me from what you're saying, I got a problem. I'm not sure. Jim, do you understand the first part of this? The Blab community says not to take Blab serious.
Because I think there's this tension between – it's method and mode. We're kind of back to that where podcasters have come into Blab and brought all their equipment in, right, and are obsessing about the sound. Obsessing is too strong of a word, but are emphasizing on the sound and the quality and stuff like that. And other Blabbers really just want to come on and talk. They don't want to be – you know, they want to come through the camera mic or whatever's easy. And I think they feel a little bit like we are poo-pooing them for like, hey, could you just upgrade your mic so we can hear you a little bit better? There's always going to be that tension that's in there. That's always going to exist. I've listened to some long blabs that where somebody was, it was hard to hear them. And, you know, it's hard to get through. What are you trying to do? If you don't care if people listen to you or not, then do whatever you want.
Right,
but
exactly.
If you do care... And you want people to stay around, have good content, and have good sound. I mean, you don't have to do anything. There's no Blab police to stop you or anybody that's going to come in and kick you out. But so at the end of the day, I always say, what are you trying to achieve? And then create content that will attract people to that. Back to that guy who called in earlier talking about marketing. I mean, if you want to build an audience, you've got to attract them and make them stick. And so you got to do whatever it takes to make them stick. In fact, Stephen was on this Blab this week, and our friend Sheldon was out there asking some questions about why he wasn't more popular.
Mm.
One of those kinds of things. And Sheldon had his microphone super far away and turned the wrong direction, and we were having trouble hearing him. And they were coaching him, hey, bring it a little bit closer, and you know, one of those kinds of things. One of the things I did learn about that in that chat is they had hundreds of people. What's this? And this one? No. I was watching another Blab with the staff. The Blab staff was on it. And there was 100 or so people in the chat room, and the chat was moving so fast it was unreadable. And so you're like, I started having this question of like, if you get too popular on Blab, does that ruin the chat experience?
Kind of. We had our chat room was off the hook today. We had 45 people in here. At one point, I looked up and I was like, holy cow.
It moves. Yeah, I think anything, you know, you get 50, 60, maybe let's say 75 or more, and you get good engagement, the chat becomes unreadable. And when I was talking about this to some you know, folks on Blab, they're like, oh, well, you know, it's what did they say? Even Miss Eileen tried to shoo this away like, well, that's not, you know, don't worry about that. That's not what it's for. And I'm like, no. The chat room is an important part of your Blab. And if the chat room is moving so fast I can't read it, it's actually disengaging than engaging. And so is there a sweet spot? And I know we're running out of time here, but is there a sweet spot when we think about Blabs in the chat room where if your audience gets too big, you kind of lose some disengagement?
Yeah, that's when you almost need
– lose engagement.
Like on Podcasters Roundtable, you know, a lot of times I'm watching the chat room while Ray is like manning the boat and he's – passing things out. It's you almost need somebody to monitor the chat. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I get this point, and then we'll kind of wrap things up here as we do this.
This goes to Sheldon on this podcast. Sheldon was being very defensive, and they Stephen, you guys were brutal to Sheldon. Absolutely brutal. I'm gonna take his side.
All right.
From this, you guys. I think you guys beat the point into him for about 45 minutes when that was a serial podcast that took 45 minutes that should have taken 5. I think he got it. The three of you guys would not get off his back. And he was angry and upset, and you guys knew that, and you kept saying he shouldn't be upset. And then he got more upset because you kept telling him he shouldn't be upset. You guys should have seen that and then moved on that point. It was just way too long. So it was one of those things when you're podcasting and you have a guest that's upset, let it go. Just move on from that standpoint. Or let him go, one of the two.
So. Yeah, that would be It sounds like Sheldon is jumping in. I'm happy that guy launched. You know, he's been jumping into the pool here, which is cool. I hate to hear somebody getting beat up. I do.
It was brutal. It's just brutal. I felt really bad for
him. Yeah.
I mean, to their defense, what they were saying was absolutely accurate, right? But he had shut down and stopped listening at that point.
Wow.
And he kept getting madder, and they kept saying, "Don't get mad, and you shouldn't be mad, and you're not listening to us."
Oh, that's a whole other.
Then let him go. Yeah. At that point, you guys should have said, "Thanks for coming in." Whoop, gone.
Yeah. So
deal, but that was a little painful.
Yeah. Well, as we start to wrap up here, and again, we're not really leaving. But we want to thank our awesome supporters, Andy and Jim. You do so much better with his last name than I do.
Sokolovich.
Sokolovich. Corey Finneran from ivyenvy.com. And Andy is over at unleashstrengths.com. Ed Bubbero is at insideoutzone.com. So if you'd like to be an awesome supporter, and you can see the last video I just uploaded. Was me showing you the behind the scenes of Live 365. We talked about that today, but I actually have a video and I show you the stats I had. But hang in there, Mr. Tech Buzz. We'll get to you in just a second. But Jim, anything coming up on the Average Guy Network?
All kinds of Christmas gadgety. We did a Blab last week, a lot of gadgets kind of stuff. Backups, you know, things you need to do at Christmas time, at the end of the year, deals, Black Friday, all that stuff.
Awesome. And as I mentioned earlier on Monday's show, Glenn the Geek, America's Horse Husband from horseradio.com. Really cool insights. He did an event, and wait till you hear what he did with sponsors to get tons of traction to this thing. He actually crashed Mixler at one point. He had so many people listening. So that is coming up on Monday's show. And we are here every Saturday morning at AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Let's see, next week will be the 19th, so it'll be the last one before Christmas. And so if you're going to be doing any shopping, go over to AskThePodcastCoach.com/or just AskThePodcastCoach.com and use the Amazon link, or you can go to SupportTheShow.com. Don't forget to use the coupon code ASK20 and save on the School of Podcasting. And thanks, everybody. Thanks to the chat. You guys were awesome today. And we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.